And we are just about out of time on this morning's Your Turn. Had an interesting assortment of topics and folks calling in, I thought, anyway. And I do appreciate that. Keep me from swinging in the wind here for 45 minutes. And you can hear the music, so you know we are just about done for today. Coming up in the next hour, it's Kenneth John with Freedom Rings, your mild-mannered civil libertarian talk show host. We'll be on from 9:05 until 10. And I'm sure we'll welcome your phone calls as well at 847-931-1410, 931-1410. For Your Turn, I'm Jack Davis. Have a great Monday.
Your news and information station, AM 1410, WRMN, Elgin.
USA Radio Network News. John Scott reporting. The Supreme Court finishes up its current session and could release its opinion today about whether a Ten Commandments monument can remain on the Texas Capitol grounds. Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott has said that if the court strikes down the constitutionality of the monument in Texas, the ruling could eventually prohibit the government from referencing God. Abbott says the Ten Commandments are both religious and legal statements, and they play an important role in the history of Texas. The Supreme Court could also make a decision today on a similar case in Kentucky. And many are waiting to see whether Chief Justice William Rehnquist will announce his retirement. The Cave Creek Complex Fire northeast of Scottsdale, Arizona, has grown to more than 92,000 acres.
About 900 firefighters continue to battle the wildfire, which is now 20% contained. It's burning to the north and is no longer threatening any homes. Firefighters are hoping to stop the fire's progression at Bloody Basin Road, about 2.5 miles to the north. Windy conditions have been hampering the firefighting effort. Yesterday, a power line had to be shut down, but it was later reactivated. It did not affect electric service to the Phoenix area. Darnie G. Scottsdale.
Nevada fire has burned 100,000 acres. Suspected BTK killer Dennis Rader due to make an appearance in a Kansas courtroom today. Rader was arrested last February and charged on March 1st with killing 10 people. He's expected to either proceed to trial or enter a plea during today's appearance. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 10 points, the NASDAQ down 3. This is USA Radio Network News.
Agatha.
It's Agatha.
Okay. Thanks for coming in. Have a seat.
I'm rather.
So, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and what you'd like to do here at GM?
Okay. First of all, I don't think outside the box. I like it in there a lot. I won't even go near the edges. And I don't do smiling or service or teamwork. I was on the team once, and I bit someone. They left a mark.
Right. I'm sorry. Do you even want to work here?
No, but I need a new car, something black, and I want a GM employee discount.
Okay, why don't we just give you the discount then, and we'll call it a day.
Now, for the first time in history, anyone can get the GM employee discount. It's a great price. You pay what we pay, not a cent more. On 2005 cars and trucks from Chevy, Pontiac, Buick, Cadillac, GMC, Saturn, Hummer, and Saab, including Corvette, at participating dealers only. The GM employee discount for everyone. Event ends July 5th. Take delivery by 7505. See dealer for details.
Reverend Billy Graham concluded what may be his final American crusade on the last day of his three-day appearance in Queens, New York, Sunday. An estimated 90,000 people yesterday gathering to hear Graham's brand of evangelism on a hot, hazy day. In his comments, Graham kept his focus on the gospel and stayed away from politics.
Some of you feel unloved. Some of you feel depressed. Some of you feel you don't have purpose and meaning in your life. He is there.
More than 230,000 people attending the three-day crusade. Police in Aruba releasing two of the suspects who have been held in an Alabama teenager's disappearance. Paul Vandersloot, who is the father of suspect Joran Vandersloot, already has been released. A 26-year-old DJ
who was arrested after Natalie Holloway's disappearance, expected to be free today. Officials in Florida have reopened a beach where a 14-year-old girl was killed by a shark over the weekend. The girl attacked near Fort Walton Beach. That's along the Florida Panhandle. This is USA Radio Network News.
Have a bewitching summer at Super 8 and get $250 in discount coupons with every stay. Enter the Stay a Selfie Stakes and you'll have a chance to win 1,000,000 trip rewards points. Or play our online game and you could be one of 600 winners of $100 worth of gas. The Super 8 Stay a Selfie Stakes. It could turn you into a winner. See Bewitched in theaters soon and we'll see you along the way. No purchase necessary. Legal residents 18 or older. Ends 9/15.
You get upset and overreact in something we've experienced.
Pizza Guy Pizza's new to Fox River Grove, but he's been making the best pizza, sandwiches, chicken, ribs, pasta, and more for years. Stop in for lunch or dinner at 700 Northwest Highway near Route 22 and taste why people have been saying Pizza Guy Pizza's the best around. Call 847-462-9423 and have them deliver your dinner to you or stop in and pick it up. Pizza Guy Pizza's also the place you want to call for catering your next party. Call Pizza Guy Pizza at the new location at 847-462-9423.
See Tiger Woods and Vijay Singh battle defending champion Stephen Ames at the 2005 Cialis Western Open, June 30th through July 3rd at Cog Hill Golf Club in Lamont, Illinois. Discounted tickets are available now through Ticketmaster by calling 312-559-1212 or online at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster at 312-559-1212 or visit us online at CialisWesternOpen.com. Get your tickets now to enjoy live tournament golf action at the PGA Tour's oldest event, the Cialis Western Open. La Petite Crêperie on the historic Woodstock Square offers the unique flavor of authentic French cuisine. Come in for lunch Tuesday through Saturday between 11 and 2:30 and try their smoked salmon or sautéed chicken breast. Dinner served from 5 to 9 Tuesday through Thursday and until 9:30 Friday and Saturday. Don't forget to join us for breakfast on Sundays from 9 till 2 and try our fabulous crepes. La Petite Crêperie at 115 North Johnson in Woodstock. Call 815-337-0765 or visit our website lapetitecrêperie.net.
Hi, this is Kenneth John of Freedom Rings. Join me every Monday morning from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock for a spirited discussion of the issues of the day. Are you sick of the same tired positions the liberals and conservatives make? Check out A Fresh Perspective on Freedom Rings, Monday morning from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Right here on AM 1410 WRMN. Give me liberty or give me death. You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating provides superior service for painting, full finishing, wallpapering, plastering, and drywall taping. No interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Derek. How you doing?
So far, so good.
Yeah, you look depressed after the weekend series. We can't be buying the World Series tickets yet for the White Sox. Even the Cubs can beat them in a series at their park.
Hard to be depressed with 50 wins. And
I know. But you know I had to
I expected it. I was waiting for it.
All right, we got to move on fast because there is so much I want to talk about today. Steve Rauschenberger is going to be my guest today. We'll talk to him about 9:20. And until then, so many important things have been happening. First, I see that Jack was discussing, or the callers were discussing, a case that I want to bring up in the previous hour, and that's a very important win for those who believe in freedom happen. You won't see it. I just hardly see it anywhere in the establishment press. Didn't see it on the cable news shows. Should have been banner headlines. Former special criminal investigative agent Joseph Bannister of the IRS, was acquitted of a bunch of tax charges. And they included conspiracy charges, false claims against the United States, filing false tax returns, aiding and assisting the filing of false tax returns, and willful failure to withhold and pay taxes. He was acquitted on all counts. Here, real briefly, what's happened here, folks. Joseph Banister, after hearing many accounts from different people that questioned whether or not there was a legal requirement for average American citizens to file and pay tax income taxes, went to his superior and asked for where the law was, what the ruling was, what the deal was about this. He didn't get any answers. Instead, they fired him. So he took this information that he had gotten that did not get contradicted by the IRS and started going around the country telling people his knowledge. Now remember, this is a special investigator in the criminal division for the IRS. Well, they eventually went after him on all these counts. The jury heard the evidence. They heard his, in a deposition of the his superior, that the superior could not quote the law that required Americans to file tax returns. He was found acquitted. He was acquitted, found not guilty on all counts, folks. This should have been banner headlines throughout the country, but you don't hear about it. Kind of gives you an idea where we're at, folks. And even more so where we're at is this next discussion. Oh, property rights are completely gone now, folks. In Kelo versus New London, Connecticut, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a governmental entity can take your property, whether you like it or not, and that's really for what we would consider public use, like for public schools or roads or something like that, but they can take it because and give it to a private developer just as long as it increases their tax revenue, and they call that public use. No property is sacrosanct. No property is immune from the clutches of your local municipalities and their buddy-buddy developers. This is so outrageous, folks. In a 5-4 decision, the so-called liberals on the court, and that joined with Anthony Kennedy, said that property can be taken. Oh, they'll compensate you, sure. You know what happens with this with compensation? They send out, the government sends out a little rumor out there, or a little intent that they're taking over, you know, a certain property. And what happens to that property? As soon as you know that the government has the eyes on that property, the value plummets. And then they say, well, that's the free market. That's the market. That's what the market will bear. That's what that property is worth right now. Yeah, after they lower the value by a factor of 10. This is really outrageous, folks. And I'll be asking Mr. Rauschenberger about this and what he intends to do about it, especially if he's going to run for governor, which I have a sneaking suspicion he's going to. So let's look at the series of very, very important Supreme Court cases in the last couple of years, folks. First, we had the case that upheld Feingold. The law that restricted free speech in political campaigns. So the law that restricted what people could give out to various candidates and what actually people could say or organizations could say at certain times, you know, within the campaign period. McCain-Feingold Amendment, thank you. Yes, that's it. They found that constitutional, which is a total disregard for the First Amendment. Then you had the medical marijuana case from California, where California voted, the people had voted that they would allow medical marijuana. And yet the Supreme Court ruled that the federal government, the United States federal government, could come in and arrest people dealing with this anyway, and deprive people with cancer and such their needed treatment. Totally taken away property rights. I'd like to know what real, true, limited government conservatives think about that. total take takes away hope, the teeth of the, or any semblance of what the 10th Amendment is all about. So yeah, the First Amendment's eliminated, the 10th Amendment eliminated, of course the 4th and 5th have been eliminated a long time ago, but the final nail in the coffin of the 5th Amendment was this Kelo versus New London, Connecticut case, this eminent domain case. What's left, folks, for those who really believe in freedom? I do know that at least one person in New London, Connecticut said he is not going to go peacefully. He's going to stay with his property until the bulldozers come, and then he'll stay still. This is going to be interesting. This is really frightening. It's a frightening period of time, folks. It's a very frightening period of time. And there are a few options left. One of the options, I hope, is will be maybe, as far as this property rights case, maybe the state legislature and the governor will be able to take up. And we'll discuss that and other state issues with Senator Steve Rauschenberger after we break for a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a 2-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, non-profit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Watch the police in the tech man.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings. I'd like to welcome once again to Freedom Rings Senator Steve Rauschenberger. How are you doing?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm on the Kennedy parking lot on my way into meetings in Chicago. It's my pleasure. If I lose you, I'll call right back as soon as the cell phone clears.
All righty, great. Well, not great for you, I guess. I don't wish that on my worst enemy.
No, it tastes
caught in that kind of thing.
Yeah, and taste of Chicago kind of just adds to it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't know how much you heard previous... having you on, my little diatribe about what this country has come to, Steve. But I'm sure you've heard about the Kelo versus New London, Connecticut.
I think you're right on point. I think these are kind of really, really dangerous times when the Supreme Court says that municipalities or local governments can unilaterally define when they have the right to exercise eminent domain. There was a great little spoof on the web. Talked about the city of New York deciding that it wanted more economic development and having them exercise eminent domain over the state of New Jersey.
Right. Well, that's the logical next step, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, is any increase in local tax revenue economic development? I mean, so that means no matter what you hold the property for, what you use it for,
right,
that local government could exercise eminent domain. The good part about the ruling, one small good part, was they clearly called for and permitted states to further restrict eminent domain.
Right,
and
that's either through legislation or through, I guess, state Supreme Court ruling.
Right, so I hope that this week we can begin to prepare some legislation and start talking with my colleagues about being ready to act in veto session and sending the message that in Illinois we're going to do what we can to very, very tightly regulate and closely rein that in.
Well, that would be terrific. So you would be willing to sponsor such legislation?
Absolutely. We hope to have something to announce sometime this week.
Well, that's terrific. I think I'm talking to all sorts of people. Everybody seems to be, they just can't believe the Supreme Court ruled this way. Left, right, libertarians, greens, whomever.
Yeah. The Supreme Court punted. You know, essentially it said that they would allow local, economic development as a legitimate eminent domain taking, but you could tell they were scared because they called on and said it's legitimate for states to further regulate it. But, it's a poor decision nonetheless. I mean, if we get to the point where the decisions of a well-intended 7-member city council trump your constitutional rights to hold property in the United States, we've really gone a long way down the wrong road.
Yeah, I'd say probably at the end of the road. That's what I would say, where there's either, I don't know, the jury box or the cartridge box or something like that.
Well, the kind of frightening part from a state legislative perspective right now is, A, we're not in session until November, and B, unfortunately, the majority in both the House and the Senate is controlled by the Chicago Democrats.
Right.
And historically, they have not been real big on telling the mayor of Chicago no on anything. And I just kind of personally suspect the mayor of Chicago kind of likes this ruling.
Yeah, I would think so, too. But interestingly, I heard on ABC Radio News, the local WLS, after this ruling happened, they talked to the alderman who was in charge of the committee of such things as the city taking over property, and he said this was skating on very dangerous ice, and he said he would be opposed to just taking property for just because you can add some tax revenue to your coffers. So that, I was very surprised to hear that. I don't know if that's the mayor's position or not, but I was glad to see maybe a little independence from an alderman for a change.
Yeah, someone said on the radio last night that I think it was on Tom Roser's show that they expected democracy to come to Iraq before it comes to the Chicago City Council.
Well,
I do hope that alderman reflects the spirit of the way they think. But historically, municipalities have kept a pretty broad perspective on what they think economic development is.
That's right. So when you run for governor, you'll be pressing this issue forthrightly, I assume.
Unless we've already dealt with it in the General Assembly, which is preferable. Right. I mean, it might be a nice campaign issue for governor, but I don't want to wait 2 years for statutory property rights protection for Illinoisans.
Oh, then I guess we can assume that you are running for governor.
I'm working very hard toward putting a campaign together and really have been traveling the state, and we expect an announcement sometime in July.
Excellent. All right. What are the other big issues you would say are confronting Illinoisans?
Well, clearly everything that we see in both surveys and talking with people are frustrated by an educational system, K-12, that's not performing for either families or children. And our kids today have to compete with children, from across the world. We need a world-class education system, and it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of kind of turning the page and stop organizing our schools for the benefit of adults and focusing on the needs of children and families. And I think that includes school choice. I think that includes rethinking the 177-day school year and the 5.5-hour school day.
And moving towards what?
Well, moving toward a system that supports children learning, not adults teaching.
Are you talking about year-round education?
I think that we need accessible year-round education, yes. When you think about it, we are 18th out of the top 20 industrialized nations in length of school year and school day. We need a school year that more adequately reflects both the problems that working families confront and the challenges that kids do. And, we should be, we're paying for these schools year-round. We've got expensive buildings. We've got, great computers. We've got a lot of infrastructure, and we lock it up 180 days a year.
Yeah, maybe not the best use of that, but I'm concerned about the children, Steve, and it seems to me one of the great, I mean, it sounds like I was being facetious, but I really mean it. I think, to me, probably the best education they get during the year is probably that summer time off.
Well, there's a lot of merit to that. And I'm not arguing necessarily for a mandatory 280-day calendar. But those schools as resource centers are places to learn and places for families to work together on things besides video games. You know, schools ought to be resource centers like libraries are.
Okay.
We need to rethink the way we organize them, and we need to make programs available for kids year-round. It doesn't have to be a mandatory school year. I think when families want to take vacations, when there's opportunities to go to camp, those are important. But this idea that Harry Truman had it right in 1951 when he made it a 180-day school year and a 5.5-hour school day, and that we haven't modernized that in the last 50 years, I think is a real indictment of the kind of leadership we have. For more than 20 years, we've known children learn second languages best in elementary ages.
Sure.
Okay. Well, where do we teach foreign language in Illinois schools today?
Oh, mostly in the high schools.
Right, because the adults don't want to change. Not because it's not better for the kids. I mean, we need to get all, I mean, we've got some great classroom teachers in Illinois and in America. We've got good principals. We just need to get everybody to the table and push the vision out to the horizon and talk about where schools ought to be by 2010. And begin moving in a definite, organized plan toward improving the environment for kids. The truth, in my opinion, is you don't teach kids as much as you put them in environments where they can learn. The reason the summers and sometimes after school are better learning experiences is because they're not structured in the same classroom way that we adopted in 1951.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that I totally agree with you.
So that's what I mean about turning schools into learning environments. And then making sure that the new focus is on facilitated learning, not necessarily on lecture teaching. And we just need to modernize and rethink what those schools ought to do.
Yeah, we're not preparing children to be cogs in an industrial
society
machine. Anymore.
Yeah, I mean, people have to be lifelong learners. So reading skills, computer skills, language skills are going to be critical. And that's not the direction, unfortunately, that we're going. And I think we also need to kick the federal government out of our local and state schools. I mean, No Child Left Behind set up a top-down, one-size-fits-all model. It's George Bush's vision run through Ted Kennedy's Education Committee. And it has hurt progress in schools rather than solving it.
Well, absolutely. And I think a lot of school districts are burdened with all the paper filing that has to be done that goes along with the money they get from the federal government, all these regulations. It seems
Absolutely.
To me we could get rid of a lot of six-figure salaried administrators by getting rid of the federal funding.
There's a great proposal. I think it's called the 75% solution that's kind of making its way around. I ran into it with some of the conservatives up in Lake County, what they talk about it is driving the resources to the classroom and cutting administration and regulation and education. And, those are the kind of things that we ought to be pushing as a vision. But schools won't change without an active leader pushing for change. And I would love to make that part of the gubernatorial campaign so that we talk about it and part of, if I'm successful in administration, which drives Illinois toward child-centered, family-responsive education, giving parents choice.
And that include home education choice?
Absolutely. I mean, some of the greatest successes we're seeing are in homeschooling.
So you'd be in favor, let's say, of tax credits for if you're teaching your child at home?
Absolutely. I supported the tuition tax credit we've had, and we ought to expand that access.
Well, that sounds pretty good to me. Of course, I mean, the radical that I am, I would like to abolish mandatory attendance completely. I assume you're not ready to take that position yet.
Well, actually, I think mandatory attendance is one of our problems.
Oh.
I mean, we have some 15- and 16-year-olds who have not been served by the system, who will not comply with it, and we spend an inordinate amount of resources you know, babysitting them at the age of 16 and 17 years old. Sometimes our mandatory attendance puts the drug dealer in contact with our high school kids. I mean, you know, the reason that one of the many reasons, but one of the big reasons that the Catholic and parochial schools are successful, private schools are successful, is if you won't comply and play by the rules of the organization, that you get kicked out, really kicked out. It's mandatory attendance laws that prevent public schools from telling non-compliant students or troublemakers, you're gone.
Right. There you go.
I think mandatory attendance is one of our problems. But what I do want is a rich public school system as an alternative for families, and one that's responsive and manages its money well and is not built on regulation and administration, but one that's built on education and facilitation of learning. And I just think it's okay to dream. I mean, it's great to think about what a great transit system would look like in Chicago, because if you don't dream the right system for mass transit that takes some of the congestion off the roads, you're never going to get there. I mean, if we're always talking about the next exit that we're going to add or the next train station in western DeKalb County, and that's as far as our vision goes, you're never going to make the system better.
Okay, we're talking with Senator Steve Rauschenberger. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. If you have any comments, questions, observations for the Senator, please give us a call, 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
Excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him. And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. Josh Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. Josh Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
We are back with Freedom Rings talking with State Senator Steven Rauschenberger, and let's go right to the phone lines. We have John. Hello, John.
Hi, Ken. Senator.
Good morning.
Do you intend to revamp the existing law regarding eminent domain or completely rewriting it?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not an attorney, so we've asked staff to take a look at it. I think at the very least what we ought to do is raise the level of eminent domain to the same level under Illinois statute that we require for quick take authority. When a municipality needs to do quick take, where they need to take a piece of property prior to the court decision on the valuation from an unwilling seller, they have to have a specific permission of the General Assembly, a bill passed by both houses of the General Assembly and signed by the governor. It's about the highest statutory bar that we could erect. And that's kind of what my initial reaction is, that no eminent domain for economic purposes without a specific permission for that case from the House of the Senate and the governor.
Will this apply to municipalities with more than 2 million people?
I would argue it ought to apply to home rule and non-home rule municipalities, including the city of Chicago.
Okay. Can you... there's a number of eminent domain cases pending. Can it be made retroactive, or will it only be going forward?
Well, that's a good question. For the most part, statutory language cannot be retroactive. It depends, however, on whether it's a clarification of existing law or whether the court would see it or the legislature would see it as new statutory requirements. So I don't know that I can answer that until we figure out what to draft precisely.
Regarding the schools, do you have any plans about this training for testing business that, because these tests are at these particular times and then students are trained to pass the test, actually not knowing too much of anything else?
Yeah, that's exactly what the problem is with No Child Left Behind and some of the kind of top-down regulatory punitive models of government regulation. When you threaten a school district's resources with if they don't perform on tests, the pressure on teachers to do the wrong thing intensifies. So I think the Bush administration had great intentions of improving the schools. I just think No Child Left Behind and these kind of punitive schemes ought to give way to the same kind of innovation we saw from the federal government in welfare reform, where they rewarded high performance rather than trying to punish people that didn't meet standards. So it's kind of inverting the whole process, which I hope would lead away from this idea of teaching to the test rather than teaching kids how to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, John?
What about seatbelt law?
Well, I voted against the mandatory enforcement of seatbelts. I know that's a very, very ticklish issue with the show's host. He and I talked about it before the vote, after the vote, and after he courageously tried to stand up to
it's still going on, Steve.
Oh, good. I didn't know what the count was.
My motions to dismiss were denied. And now we're come to the point of whether or not I get a what I would consider constitutional right of a jury trial or not. And that issue, I think, if there's any justice in the court system, if that's denied, it should be, I will appeal it, and it should be interlocutory because the case would be moot if he just doesn't give me the jury trial
you know, right away. I think the decision to have a jury trial and not have to pay non-refundable $137.50, I think that should be adjudicated before any trial occurs. So that's where we're at on that.
Well, I hope so, and I hope you get a fully informed jury.
Well,
not one that's instructed to disallow your argument.
There you go.
So I think it's great that individuals, you know, kind of take this stuff to task, but I wish it didn't have to happen.
Right. But unfortunately, you know, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, so there's some of us that need to be vigilant.
I've heard that on this show.
Thanks for calling, John. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Well, how about, I think, a subject near and dear to so many people's hearts, and that's the insatiable habit of spending money in the state legislature and what to do about it. How do we stop the spending, and what would you do about taxes, I guess?
I think what we need to do with this current administration, and we've got some people taking a look at it, is I think the last budget they passed was unconstitutional. It was
because they were stealing from the teachers' pension funds, or
well, not just that, but I mean that's part of what they did. The if you read the Illinois Constitution, which isn't a very long document, it's clear that what they require the legislature to do is to pass a budget that balances the revenues and the expenditures.
Right.
Now, when you just go in and statutorily amend the rules and say, well, we're going to ignore $1.3 billion of our liabilities that roll over and become a liability in the future, that's borrowing. That's not permitted to balance the budget. So I think there's a constitutional challenge about whether this governor and Mike Madigan and Emil Jones from Chicago passed the balanced budget. And if we don't begin the fight to make the balanced budget provisions of the Constitution have teeth, you know, we just will continue to spiral down over the next 2 years with an administration that is addicted to growth in government. When Jim Edgar left office, 1.3 million people in the state of Illinois were on the state's Medicaid program. Today, this governor is proud to tell you 2.4 million Illinoisans are now on that program. One in three births that take place in the state of Illinois are now paid for by state taxpayers. I mean, this is universal health care, bottom up, and that's the goal of this administration. And you know, the most important thing, I think, to do is to get the budget back under control. When the legislature taxes you, excuse me, they take a little piece of your freedom. I mean, it's your economic freedom. There's no real freedom in America without the right to control your own wealth.
Right.
So when we tax, you know, we ought to tax as little as possible, and we ought to spend that money very, very cautiously. We're in the middle of an administration that wants to increase spending when its revenues don't go up and wants to kind of pass the new bill on to the next generation. And no single motivation is stronger for me in wanting to run for governor than to return to honest budgeting, to use generally accepted accounting principles, and to discipline the legislature and the governor to spend within their means, because that's the start of being able to roll back taxes and keep taxes affordable in this state.
Do you know of anybody that's going to file a lawsuit based on this constitutionality issue?
Well, actually, yeah. We have a group of us have got a couple of constitutional scholars taking a look at writing the pleading. I mean, we got a little time, and it's complex. But I do think that you know, you can make the argument that when the legislature went in and statutorily amended its own laws saying they didn't have to pay the pension, that's a clear recognition, A, that the pension law had validity, and B, that they knew about the liability. So they can't pretend, I mean, you can argue perhaps in 1975 when they weren't paying enough into the pension that, you know, that was before Enron, it was before United Airlines, it was before people realized how important pension funding was.
Right.
So to say that in the past somebody did something wrong and that justifies their decision not to pay the pensions this year, I think is, you know, flawed on its face.
Yeah, well, your allusion, I think, is appropriate. It seems to me that those who support the taking from those pension funds are just as culpable, just as guilty as the Enron executives.
Absolutely. If any private sector CEO had done what the governor and the Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan, and the Senate President, Emil Jones, did, they would go to jail.
Right, there you go.
I mean, it's not legal to do in a corporation to walk away from your pension obligations because you want to increase your executive compensation. So why we would permit this at the state level, and I was terribly disappointed because last year Mike Madigan was a voice of reason down in Springfield, and this year whether politics caught up with him or whatever happened, but Mike Madigan walked away from his constitutional, I mean, Emil Jones and Mike Madigan are constitutional officers. Not just simply Chicago politicians when they go to work in Springfield.
Right.
And they had an obligation to live up to that constitution that I think they failed in.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We have Bob on the line. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Senator Rauschenberger. I do appreciate your work on the behalf of Liberty. And while you're talking about the pensions, my wife is a member of the Illinois Municipal Employees Retirement Fund.
Yes.
She's a bus driver for Lake Zurich. And she just got a letter that apparently the state wants to meld it in with the other essentially dissolve the fund and put it in with the other general pension funds of the state.
Yeah,
and of course he's borrowing money from those funds to fund the other operations of the state. And I don't know whether you're familiar with that at all.
Yes, I am. That's IMRF, the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, and it is funded by the municipalities and other local governments that have membership in it. It's funded at a 90% level or better, so it's close to fully funded. The governor and his Bureau of the Budget have had their eyes on snatching those assets for the last 2 years. And we've resisted it in Springfield, and I intend to continue resisting it. Hopefully other legislators will stick with me. The last thing we need is the people who brought us 50% funding levels in the state pension system taking over control of the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund.
Anything else, Bob?
No, I do appreciate your work, though, on all these issues.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for your call, Bob. Okay, we have Chris. Hello, Chris.
Morning, Ken. Morning, Senator.
Morning.
Just a couple questions about this whole budget thing. Senator, can you envision any potential in a scenario in which you would support a tax increase of any kind?
No. Increasing general taxes only serves to reduce the economic recovery of the state of Illinois and slows off our ability to create jobs and economic activity in the state. There's no benefit to increasing taxes. The five states in the nation that reacted to this recession by increasing taxes, including Illinois, all are suffering slower than average recovery from the recession.
The right way to dig out of this
recession is to grow your way out of it, and you do that by controlling your budgetary spending and providing a good regulatory climate and a good court system and honest government.
Wow, good answer. Thanks. So what would your solution be? I mean, the state pension funds are definitely well underfunded. We've heard about the burden that's going to be on our children and grandchildren. Especially the teachers' retirement system. What would your solution be to get these pension funds back in shape, or to relieve the liability on future generations?
Well, there's no easy fix. I was one of the co-sponsors along with Peter Fitzgerald, Chris Lawson of Aurora, Dave Severson of Rockford, and Pat O'Malley from Palos, and we were in the Senate together back in 1995. Interestingly enough, that was a short period of time when Republicans had the House and the Senate. And Mike Madigan and Emil Jones couldn't stop us. At that time, we passed a law which required each year that we fund the new liability to the pension system and make an additional payment on the unfunded liability of those pension systems. We need to return to that discipline first. That's what this governor, since he's walked into office, has amended that law twice and ignored it once. Our problem is that the solutions in front of us is disciplining your spending and contributing, making the car payments. I mean, you don't get the car paid for by skipping car payments. It's a tough discipline. It's expensive. But we've made those promises. We need to put the money aside to keep them. The way I get out of the current budget mess is, first of all, you cannot solve the problems of state government if you don't take on the two demons that are eating up the tax revenues and the economic freedom in the state of Illinois. You have got to go after reforming K-12 education. I mean, you've got to face up to the fact that the Medicaid program cannot grow at 8.5% to 9% a year and be sustainable. We've got to deal with health care reform, and you've got to deal with rethinking your K-12 school system so they're affordable in the future. Otherwise, long-term, you can't fix the problems of the state without increasing taxes and destroying, you know, economic prosperity. In the short term, what I would have argued the governor should have done is he should have borrowed on 2 or 3 year bonds the money necessary to work through this recession if he couldn't get the legislature to cut more spending. And we should be paying off those bonds with our growth rather than allowing state government to continue to grow. Short-term bonds right now for the state of Illinois would cost between 2 and 3% interest rates. They're very low interest rates. I mean, that's a much better solution than shorting your pension fund.
I appreciate the answers. One last question. It has to do with K-12 education. Could you support the elimination of tenure for K-12 teachers?
Well, tenure, I don't think, is a good idea. The idea that people have both union protection and some kind of statutory protection regardless of job performance doesn't make sense to me. I've twice introduced bills since I've been in the General Assembly to adjust and amend tenure, to extend it out, to put qualifications behind it. But I think most important is really to change the system. Tenure is not the problem by itself. You know, we've really got a system that takes on a 50-year-old vision of what education should be in America. So I think bigger than tenure is school reorganization. But I do think tenure is not a part of the solution. It's really part of the problem.
Great. Well, thanks, Senator.
Thanks for your call, Chris. Well, speaking of, and you see, you want to limit the ability for the legislature to raise taxes, and you say the way to do it is whole spending, and I agree with you, but there are some who say that we also need an amendment or a law that would only allow the legislature to pass taxes if they passed it by a two-thirds vote, and I know in the past you've disagreed with that.
Yeah.
Why do you disagree with that?
Well, in my experience, when I first ran for office, I thought term limits was a good idea. When I first ran for office, it seemed to me supermajorities to pass tax increases made sense. But now that I've seen the practical workings of your General Assembly, I always think it's important, even if it's kind of embarrassing, that I have to be intellectually honest with what I see happening. When tax increases are difficult to pass in the General Assembly. If you require a supermajority, what actually happens is the tax increases have been larger, not smaller. Because what happens is they increase the tax increase to buy more legislative votes. They increase programs to persuade more legislators to support it.
You're buying their votes for more taxes. Okay.
That's what happened under the Thompson administration. The last three times we raised general taxes, they had more than supermajority votes. So it's not an effective bar. You know, if you're talking about a constitutional bar like the Tabor Law, which has been enacted, I think, a couple of states, Colorado being one of them, where it limits spending increases, I mean, those kind of things can work. But a statutory bar requiring supermajority votes, yeah, I think, is a mistake.
Okay. Bob's been waiting a while on the line. Let's go to Bob. Hello, Bob.
How you doing, Ken, Senator?
Good.
Good morning.
How you doing? I just like to say real quick, I'm really happy about that Bannister acquittal, but the Supreme Court ruling kind of zeroes it out, but we knew what they were. But I'm really happy about that, and I like you say, it's kind of odd you don't see it on the front, or at least in the paper somewhere.
Right.
But I just like to say, if anyone has any information, you know, interesting information like that, I'd like to give my email if I could, because I don't have much time to look for this. If I could give my email,
I don't care. Yeah, that's your email address if you want to give it out publicly.
It's bobbyd1776@aol.com. If anyone's got any kind of information, I'd appreciate it. But I just got a couple questions for you guys. I was just kind of curious. Will you be celebrating Independence Day, and how will you celebrate it? Just a little curious.
Shooting off any illegal fireworks in your backyard?
Not this year. although I have been at my brother's house sometimes and things caught on fire and blew off that may not have met all of the rules of the state of Illinois. But no, this year, my wife is on vacation. Actually, she's with a group of friends. They're trekking at Kilimanjaro. And I will, unfortunately, spend most of my Independence Day traveling to three different parades.
Okay. Are you going to be in the Crystal Lake Parade, by the way?
I don't think that one's on the schedule.
Okay. I should mention that. Let's see, that'll be coming up. I'm glad you mentioned the parades because the Fox Valley Libertarian Party will be in the Crystal Lake Parade, and we have a few surprises. We have Homeland Security might be arresting people along the parade route.
All right. Thank you, guys. We hope you have a good night. Thanks.
All right. This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. We're talking with Senator Steve Rauschenberger. If you'd like to talk with him, give us a call at 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza,
one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back at Freedom Rings. Well, we don't have much time, Stephen. It's just kind of ironic that we had the Illegal Smile bumper music on, because I was going to ask you about medical marijuana, like what we can do to restore states' rights to this country.
Well,
after the Supreme Court decision that really just took away the people's rights to decide for themselves in the states whether or not they would allow medical marijuana.
I hope we get an attorney general somewhere in the United States, a state's attorney general, who will bring a Tenth Amendment case, because I think that is the Tenth Amendment, which clearly says all powers not officially delegated to the federal government are reserved to the states and the people respectively. We need that re-adjudicated at the Supreme Court, because I think medical marijuana is one of a series of usurpations by the federal government as they pursue a political agenda that they may be comfortable with, but that isn't constitutional.
Right. Do you have a phone number or a website you'd like to have people contact you?
Real quick. The best place to reach me is the district office at 847-622-1149. We're always happy to help. I appreciate being on the show. Hopefully next time I can do it in studio.
Thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate it.
The Pursuit of Hate program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. When